Pastor Matt's been on a teaching thing of the fruit of the Spirit, and so he kind of threw something out at me, and I said, I'd like to kind of go a different direction. I don't want to talk on gentleness, which was the next fruit of the Spirit that we was supposed to be dealt with. And I said, rather, I would like to just to underline the whole idea and the concept of the fruit of the Spirit. On the screen, you're just going to have references, not the whole scripture. So if you got your Bible, you have to go to it and see whether I'm reading it right. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. So if you're, and this is from the Message, so it's a paraphrase. So if you're serious about living this life with Christ, act like it. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, is with Christ in God. He is your life. And that means killing off, putting off everything connected with that old way of death. Those are interesting words. You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I've entitled my message, "What Does Your Life Smell Like?" I don't know whether you've ever, I hope you've never come in contact with a dead body. Now, it may have been an animal, which would possibly be all right, but the smell of a decaying animal is not nice. And certainly, apparently, which I've never smelled, is that a human body that is decaying is an awful smell. There's a metaphor in the Bible in this regard. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. And once again, this is a paraphrase. In Christ, God leads us from place to place. Hurry up! 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. You there now? In Christ, God leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade. Through us, he brings knowledge of Christ everywhere we go. People breathe in the exquisite fragrance. Because of Christ, we give off a sweet scent rising to God, which is recognized by those on the way of salvation, an aroma resilient with life. But to those on the road to destruction, it smells like a dead body. Many times we fail to appreciate the privileges we have in Christ or the responsibilities that are ours as God's children. In the Old Testament, few knew the privilege of knowing God personally. They didn't have the privilege of coming into the presence of God. Only the ones who were Levitical priests had that privilege. They had been sanctified and set apart for special service unto the Lord in the tabernacle or the temple. There was a practice in the Old Testament where priests were anointed with oil, signifying their separation to God, and oil continues to be a symbol of the Holy Spirit. But this oil that the Old Testament priests were anointed with was a special oil. We find the prescription for that in Exodus chapter 30, if you want to read it. I'm not going to be reading it now. It was a very specific oil and a very peculiar odor or fragrance. Now, this is where the whole idea of my message comes from. So when you were in the presence of a priest who had been set aside for God, you would have that smell, and you would immediately know you were in the presence of a priest. The special fragrance told you you were in the presence of one who had been close to God. Today, because of Jesus and his atoning sacrifice for the sins of mankind, each one of us has access to God. We can know his presence in a more wonderful way than the Old Testament priests ever knew. Not only do we have access, but God himself has come to us in the Holy Spirit, and he comes and takes residence within our lives. And he dwells within the believer. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special people. In the old King James, it said, we are a peculiar people. And some people never like that word. But peculiar doesn't mean you're nuts. It means you're special. You're special. As New Testament priests, not only do we have the privilege of knowing God personally, but we have responsibilities. The Old Testament priest was anointed with oil, which is a biblical symbol of the Holy Spirit. You and I are also anointed by the Holy Spirit. Not just symbolically, but with the real thing. God, the Holy Spirit, rests in our lives. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 tells, we have an anointing of the Holy One. We have one. 1 John 2:27, same chapter, says it encourages us with this understanding. The anointing we have is in us and remains. It remains. In the Old Testament, anointing was very dramatic, perhaps much messier than we would ever really think about it. In Psalm 133, it refers to the anointing of the Old Testament priest Aaron, and it said the oil was poured on his head and it ran down on his beard and over all of his garments. It was rather dramatic. The anointing we have received is also much more dramatic, perhaps, than you realize. It is the very presence of God, the Holy Spirit that anoints and fills the believer's life. And sometimes there's very real emotion connected to this reality. As you have been learning, the fruit of the Spirit is, which is the first one? It's love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It's the result of His presence within us. When you see an apple tree, what does it have? Gooseberries? No, it has apples. Because the life of the apple is in that tree. And God, His Holy Spirit, lives in us, the believer. And what is the reality? What is the fruit of that presence? The first is its love, which is an unselfish concern for others. It's a choice. It's not just an emotion. We say, oh, well, we get the goosebumps and we say, oh, I really love. No, I love because I choose. I choose to love. The fruit of the Spirit is joy, not happiness. Happiness depends on good happenings. But joy that comes from knowing God and knowing the reality of His presence within. The fruit of the Spirit is peace, not necessarily the absence of turmoil, but knowing that God is not dead and He's in control. The fruit of the Spirit is patience. That's not just the ability to wait, but it's how we act when we're waiting. Yeah, that's a good place to say, ouch. The fruit of the Spirit is kindness. Being kind to everyone, even those that we would consider to be challenging or offensive sometimes. Being kind. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness, the ability to do the right thing in every circumstance. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness, a kind endurance, driven by trust in the Lord. Christians can keep going in the right direction, even when they don't understand what's happening. That's faithfulness. And the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. This is where I was requested to hang my hat, but Gentleness is not to be misunderstood as weakness or a willingness to let others have their own way. Instead, this is the supernatural ability in the Spirit's power not to demand control or to be or be extreme in our responses. Rather, we can submit to God's control over whatever situation we're in. The Greek word that's used actually implies humble and tranquil, not frail or fragile. And the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. It's a supernatural ability to submit our will to the leading of the Holy Spirit. The last thing that Jesus said before he ascended into heaven, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What does that sound like to you? Does that sound like somebody on the street corner shouting to the crowd? You know what I think he really was saying? Go into the world, go with my presence. I think it was St. Francis of Assisi that said, preach the gospel, use words if necessary. I like that. Because I think sometimes the words we speak are canceled by our behavior. Go with my presence. I'm not willing that any should perish. Go with the fragrance of my presence and the fragrance of my blessing. The Old Testament was detected by the fragrance of the anointing oil. Your faith and the fact that you belong to God is the fact that your presence is active in all of this fruit, love and joy and peace. What would be the point of trying to preach with words if all of these other things, if the fruit isn't present? What would be the point? Your faith, the presence of the Holy Spirit, should be detectable. And that's why I'm asking, what does your life smell like? What is the fragrance of your life? In Romans chapter 6, it talks to us about the death and burial of our life of sins. I'm sure you're aware that when we baptize by immersion. Why? Why do we baptize by immersion? Because when a body dies, you bury it. When your old life dies, you bury it. That's what you're saying in the waters of baptism. You go into the waters of baptism saying, I'm dead to my old life of sins. And I come out of the water saying, and I have risen in newness of life. I want to live for God. May the fragrance of my life be the fruit of the Spirit. The condition of sinfulness is often called being dead in the Bible, like in Ephesians 2:5 says, dead in trespasses and sins, or in Colossians 2:13, dead in your trespasses. The scripture exhorts us to be dead to sin, but alive to God. So what are you alive to? Does your life smell like God or like sin? Someone once asked this question, and it's very thought-provoking. It causes healthy introspection. If you were charged with being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Once again, if you were charged with being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? I trust there'll be lots of evidence. We're going to go into communion, but before we do, I want to sing a song with you. It's a song you learned a long time ago. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. God lives in your life. God has taken residence in your life by His Holy Spirit. Let it shine. Let it affect the people all the way around you with the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit is developing and can be shared. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to share. Lord, help us to be the people that you want us to be. A people alive, shining brightly with the light of God. I thank you, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.